It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Woo. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 127, North Star. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I'm so excited that you clicked play on this week's episode. If you have not already, what are you waiting for? Make sure you hit subscribe on the Purple Pants Podcast. Give your baby boy a review. I love some 5 stars. And if you're feeling generous, head over to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube page where I drop exclusive content. Hit subscribe on that too. Okay, bless your life. How has everyone been doing? It's like real. We officially in the holiday season. And I got some issues, okay? Listen, I didn't, you know, went on the computer on Black Friday. Was like, ooh, I got little, ooh, this look cute, this look cute, this look cute. You know, I got a couple events coming up. So I'm like, you know what? Let me make sure the baby boy is dripping, okay? I leave for Florida on Wednesday. Why would I order on Black Friday for me to wear this week? It's talk about it's going to be delivered on Friday. Excuse me. Now, y'all know I'm about to call my stepdad, John, and I'm going to need him to dispute these charges because I needed them for this week. But I'm really excited. Baby boy has a busy, busy, busy. I'm like busy as a quarantine B, but I'm not in a quarantine. Okay. I'm going to Hearts of Reality this week. So any of the posse that is going, I cannot wait to see you. Then after, well, first of all, you know, baby boy is flying in, but the way them prices of them plane tickets was set up, baby boy had to fly in a day earlier and fly in a day later because, yeah, I go with the deals. So I am, you know, gone practically all of this week. And then the following week, December 15th, is Bryce and Wynn Presents. We are heading over to Hoboken. So if you haven't got your tickets already, make sure you grab your tickets. We have so many wonderful guests confirmed, so you don't want to miss it. So make sure you click the link in my bio, Twitter, and Instagram. Do the same for Wendell, and we will see you on the 15th. Now, also, you know, my girl, Lauren Ashley Beck, is throwing a Survivor finale party over there in L.A. Yes, and you know, we support our people here at the Purple Pants Podcast. So I have a giveaway contest. I've got 2 tickets to Lauren's party that I purchased for the posse. So anyone that's in the L.A. area that can make it to Lauren's party, here are the rules. Okay, you know your baby boy be crazy with the rules. So you gotta be following Bryce Isaiah. You gotta be following the Purple Pants Podcast. You gotta be following Wendell Holland. You gotta be following Beav Unlimited. You gotta be following Bryce and Wynn Presents on Instagram. And the last one is you got to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Bryce Isaiah. And if you've done all of that, email me at the Purple Pants Podcast and say, baby boy, I want to go to Lauren party, and I will bless you with the tickets. So yes, it's a lot of things going on. The Bryce and Wynn Presents, Lauren Ashley Beck Survivor Party, baby boy going to be in Florida for Hearts of Reality. I just recorded the feedback show with baby boy Robert. And you know, we got Survivor news with me, Wendell, and Jack. So listen, your baby boy, and plus, okay, plus I got a full-time job that I'm still trying to maintain, aka keep. So yes, your baby boy is booked and busy, but I am so excited to be booked and busy and to just get out there. And I'm so excited to see all of the Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, the WWE, the wrestling people in Hearts. I'm so excited to see everyone that comes out to the Bryce and Wynn Presents in Hoboken. You know, it's giving very much 'tis the season. And I am so excited for this week's episode. So listen, I done rambled on enough. Let me give you the rundown for this week's episode. We have the church announcements. After the church announcements, we have, it's an insecure week. So we got Sharia Lloyd in the building to break down the last two episodes of Insecure. Then we have Purple Pants Promotions. My Temple alum and friend, Michelle Williams, just released a book. So we are talking about that and her very inspirational story. She definitely opened up to the posse and it is a great listen. Then we've got Gangsta Gurry for our Purple Pants Premonitions. Barb is back with Barb's message and Freak of the Week. So listen, let's get this podcast started. Also, want to give a shout out to the ma'ams and pops over there in Texas. She was in Philadelphia for a work event and Wendell and I had the opportunity to meet up with my family, you know, because listen, we go together. We family. That's my mother by love, the ma'ams, aka Miss Amy, even though she don't like me to call her Miss Amy, she says it's the ma'ams. So we had a wonderful lunch, or not a lunch, not a brunch, but a dinner in Philly downtown. So it was so cute. And so I love linking up with the posse. So I just wanted to give a huge shout out to the ma'ams and pops. But listen, let's get into these church announcements. For this week's church announcement, while I was recording Purple Pants Promotions with my Temple alum and friend, Michelle Williams, she had spoke upon something that really touched my soul. She said her North Star, and her North Star was service. And, you know, when people find their North Star, it is the thing that gives you purpose, the thing that really kind of like makes you feel like you have found your purpose in life. And that really resonated with me. And I was thinking, like, what is my North Star? Have I found my North Star? When I reflect on it, I really feel like my North Star is a multitude of things, bringing people joy, being honest and vulnerable, and, you know, just telling my story and bringing light to people. Whenever I meet people, they're always like, oh, it's your energy. I love your energy. And for a long time, I ran from that. And, you know, I'm 35 years old today. It's not my birthday, but I really received that. And I really feel like my North Star is putting energy and love into others. And I really wanted to put this on the church announcement to say that we all need to figure out and find what our North Star is. And sometimes we are struggling in a career. We're struggling in relationships. We're struggling in friendships. And that's more than likely because we probably have not found our North Star. And if we can find and figure out what our North Star is, what makes our heart beat, what makes our life worth living, and when we're able to definitively say what our North Star is, I feel like a lot of things will fall into place. And so I am encouraging and imploring the Purple Pants Posse this week to figure out what your North Star is, whether or not it's being a mother, whether or not it's service, whether or not it's giving back to the community, whether or not it's helping others, whether or not if it's just living in your truth is your North Star. I want you to think about that. I want you to put some thought and effort into it, because I feel like when we can find what our North Star is, the things will fall into place, and the goals, the aspirations, the dreams that we have, they'll soon come. But they can't come unless we figure out what our North Star is, what our purpose is, what are the things that we excel in, what are the things that you excited to do. And I'm still figuring out what my North Star is as well, but let's go on this journey together. So your homework assignment this week, Purple Pants Posse, is to ponder, to think, put some time and effort into what is your North Star during this holiday season. And it's the season of giving to others. Let's give to ourselves and think about it. And I really want you to spend some time and thought with this. And this has been your church announcements.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew.
And we are back this week. It's the Insecure Week. So, you know, I had to call my good Judy on duty. Sharia Lloyd back.
We back.
Yes. I'm so excited to have you back here. I just really love our Insecure recaps.
Thank you. I kind of look forward to this every other week. I'm like, this is my tea time with Rice.
Yes, I love it. It's like, it literally gives me something to look forward to. And I try to like, I don't watch the episode that doesn't come on that week. I try to watch them like together. So I like give me a full hour of Insecure.
That's smart. I should have been doing that.
But then it's like, then you got to like stay offline. You can't like, you know, yeah, see you what can't. People are talking about.
Because the chat rooms and everything, because they spoil.
Right. Because you know, I don't want to do that. But we are here this week and we are covering Insecure. We're covering episode Tired, okay?
Yes.
And Chilling, okay?
I'm tired.
Oh, listen, and I'm and I'm so chilling.
Chill. You chilling? Balance.
So last week's episode, and I feel like they just work out so well for our recaps, because last week's episode didn't give us much, but it gave us some answers to a lot. So last week's episode, we see Issa and Nathan in their relationship. And, you know, they doing a nasty and, you know, the I love you slips out.
Listen, and were you ready for that?
I mean, so honestly, though, in my like experience, and you know, I'm practically a Virgin Mary. But in my experience, so first Issa, like they do it a nasty, and Issa says, I love you to Nathan, and Nathan does not say it back. And it creates this weird exchange. However, in my experience, doing the nasty, it's always the person saying I love you to me.
You gotta like that.
I mean, I don't know if I got the Ashanti good. I don't know. But for a long time, though, I had to like, for a long time, I would believe it. You know, but then it wasn't until later in my life that I was like, okay, y'all just okay. Okay, I don't believe that. Just shut up. I know that like when, you know, the nasty side, I know to just mute you out. Unless you biting on my ear. But anyway.
TMI.
So, but yeah, so, and that is interesting because, you know, she says, I love you, and he doesn't say anything back.
Awkward.
And we know that, like, we as viewers don't really know, like, what is the foundation of this relationship? And so for, you know, if you were like me, it's like, get rid of him.
Time to go, huh? You're like, it's time to go.
It's time to go. Figure out where Lawrence is at. But, you know, she doesn't. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
I mean, yes. And it's so funny. I was watching something else the other night and I was like, but mine never really end like the TV shows and movies, though. You know what I mean? But I think I'm on the same way as you, though. I'm usually on the receiving end of the I love you because I don't want to be in that awkward, like I said it and don't know what to say back.
Right.
But it is awkward that when somebody says it, you like, I don't know what to say back.
Right. You just kind of sort of ignore it. I also, however, feel like the type of person that I am when I'm dealing with somebody, if I ask you a question, oh, I'm going to get an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's no like if it like I'm literally that person that like I'm that weird person in a relationship where I'm like, I like to know what you're thinking. I like, you know, if, you know, say we meet, we go on a date and then like, you know, we're on the phone hanging out. I want to know like, so what did you think about the date? What did you think when like,
oh my gosh,
like
in the same way?
Maybe
your innermost thoughts.
Yes. Like I want to know like, and you know, ask me, but you know, it,
what you say on me.
It seems like from the responses of many that not a lot of people do that.
Yes. I just, you know, I think that Nathan really is trying to figure out what Issa is, and that's probably why he didn't say it back, though. He's like, is she playing or is she for real? Like, what's happening?
Right. Is this in the heat of the moment?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Later in the episode, we do see that Nathan is like, I don't know what you want from me. You know, you are 1 minute crying in my mouth, the next minute, you know,
can't
saying
with the
that
crying
you
crying in my mouth, though.
Right.
Say it like that.
First, that just feels so nasty.
It does.
You know? Like, ugh. Then he like, you know, you're saying you want to be with me. Then it's like, you love me. Mm-hmm. So, and again, as much as I wanted to like, be done with Nathan, when he brought it back to us, because it's not just Issa, it's us.
It's all of us. Mm-hmm.
That made sense. And it did give the picture that Issa was all over the place.
Yeah, for sure.
So then we get to Molly, this episode, tired, okay, and she is still dealing with, you know, her mom having a stroke and in the hospital. However, we had talked about before that, like, she was not necessarily struggling in work, but, you know, falling behind. And we see her on a work retreat.
Which got real interesting.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on a work retreat?
I've been on several work retreats. And, you know, I thought it was so funny because I'm always the type that kind of tries to tread lightly with work people. And, you know, when the drinks start flowing, you know, people get a little loose.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on, you know, the crowd, how long I stay down there, how much I'm going to give you. Otherwise, I'm like, and good night. Thank you.
Right. So I've never necessarily been on like a go away work retreat. The most thing that I can relate it to is like a work happy hour.
And
yeah, people, you know, when the liquor start to flow in, it's just interesting to see how people, the dynamic changes.
People get a little free.
They get a little free. Some people want you to like turn up with them, and it's like, no, I'm gonna keep it cute. Although, like, you know, me keeping it cute is kind of turned up. But you know, that was like just the closest thing that I could relate it to. We see, you know, throughout this work retreat that there is, now, first of all, the love interest that I thought it was going to be.
Listen, you caught that too?
Okay, was the young Tenderoni that she went to school with.
Yes, yes, and yes.
He could come on a work retreat with me.
Anytime, huh?
So they were letting go. And it was really good, actually, to see this work retreat, because last season we left off Molly trying to make partner at the one law firm that she was at. However, they did not see her in that position. So she moved to a black law firm, which she was excited about, but she felt like she did not fit in. And we never really got any closure from that.
Yeah.
We know she was still employed, but we never got any closure. And so during this work retreat, you know, something came up and they were just like, and Molly was like, you know, I never really thought y'all liked me. And they was like, we didn't.
I actually love that scene, because sometimes you really don't know why people, you know, treat you the way they do. But that gave them opportunity to kind of loosen up and like tell the truth. Like, girl, we ain't mess with you. And this is why. So now you know how to move.
Right. And so, yeah. And I love that transparency as well. And I also love, in the sense of, I put myself in like Molly's shoes, in the sense of like, well, I don't know what I was doing wrong. I was just like, you know, coming and being myself. But like, no, sometimes you need a big humbling. And sometimes,
absolutely. And they definitely humble her, I think.
Yes. So then the night got wild, and Molly woke up with somebody watch in her bed.
Now, let's be clear. That has never happened to me before, okay? On a work trip. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, on a not work trip.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell her my business.
All right. Well, I never woke up with a watch in my bed. But, you know, we'll say that for the, you know, other podcast. And so the next day, Molly is somewhat embarrassed. We've all had that walk of shame.
Ooh,
that
yes.
Text of shame. That call of shame. Like, girl, what happened? And I've had several of those. And for me, what I always hate about that, like, call a shame to your friend to be like, what happened? I despise the story that they tell, even if it's not anything bad, just because it's like, I don't know if you lying or not, but I have to believe the story because the Casamigos was popping.
Right, absolutely. And you don't remember anything else, so you gotta go with
right. And so it's like, I despise it because it's like, I hate the fact that this is the information that I have to go with.
Mm-hmm.
So Molly gets to the table and, you know, they basically are like showing her video of her just like cutting up, having a good time.
Embarrassed.
Okay. I would be mortified. Then she has a presentation with, I think his name is Tarion.
I don't remember what his name is, so enlighten me, because I sure forget.
It's Tarion.
Okay.
Or Tarion. Tarion
sounds about right, yeah.
Because I'll be making up names.
we go with that.
Okay. Tarion. So she has a presentation with Tarion. Her brother texts her in the middle of the presentation. She's all over the place because we know that she is dealing with her mom.
Yeah.
He covers for her. They have a maybe happy hour cap, and she reveals to him she's been dealing with a lot with her mom, and he's like, oh my god, like, why wouldn't you tell us, like, we're a team here, like, we would have helped you, we would have been there for you. And we start to see this love interest develop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always with the person that, like, you know, when you were like in third, fourth grade, and it's like, oh, I don't like you, you got cooties.
Yes, so it's the person you just really don't even see coming.
Right. And so nothing really, like, you know, we don't see much of anything in this episode. And then the last, like, little note that I wrote from Tired, okay, was Crenshaw. Or Crenshaw.
He a mess.
He's a mess. Now, this is the guy that Issa was working with. He was fresh out of jail. And he started his own clothing company. Issa, you know, got him a partnership. However, they wanted him to tone down a little bit of his show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of debated back and forth whether or not we felt like she was selling out, or whether or not, like, you know, you have to, there are rules in corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately he did what he was going to do, and he felt some type of way because, like, Issa in his eyes did not support him. Now, every episode since then, there's always been a Crenshaw reference, whether he's tweeting on something like, she a sellout, or the block is not for the people.
Yeah, which is so interesting. Maybe it's like a reminder to her or something.
Right. And, you know, or it's like that something that you're dealing with that, like, you try to ignore, but it keeps popping up. And then at the most, like, random and times where you think you're in the clear, it reveals itself again.
Yep, absolutely.
And she had another potential, I don't know, client, I guess you can say. And, you know, she was pitching to them, and they're like, where do we know you from? Like, you know, and they was like, oh yeah, you did that thing with Crenshaw. We good.
Small world. You never know who you come across.
Mm-mm, that's why it's, you know, always tie up. Loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was basically Tired, okay.
Yep.
Now we get to Chilling, okay. And it's a girls' night.
Girls' night, always a good time.
Yes, I am a proponent, a lover, a fan, I don't know what else I could be, of a good kiki with your good Judies.
Absolutely. That time is much needed.
It's, you know, like, and what I loved about this girls' night, so Issa has Molly, Kelly, and Tiffany over. They're supposed to get massages. They're going to dinner, and they're going out. And they're just really, like, just good girlfriend time, you know, good friend time. And for me, what resonated the most was, like, you know, while they were just doing whatever and they started getting ready, and every, like, you know, one friend is in her living room using the mirror. The other, like, I love when you get ready with a friend.
It's so much fun. That's when the good juicy conversation starts to happen, and you're just like letting down your guard, enjoying yourself with your friends.
Yes. You know, you putting your face on, getting your outfit, like, you know,
hyping each other up.
I feel like, you know, during that time, you know, you reveal some of your insecurities, like, while you're getting dressed. It's just a very, just a good time. And so if you have not had a good friend time, a good girlfriend time, a good bro time, I think that it is important that you do that. Mm-hmm. And so they're all getting ready, and they, what do they do? So they're playing, like, this game. And, you know, which, where you put up.
they were a little hesitant to play because they said last time, or Kelly said last time, things went a little off the wall. Gotta be careful what questions you ask.
First of all, we had to take what Kelly says with a grain of salt. But I love Kelly. What I do also love about Insecure in this girl's night is I love how they normalize marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for a long time, you know, the war on crime and, yep. you know, it's a gateway drug and all of this stuff. And, you know, a lot of, when you see marijuana or you hear about marijuana, it's normally a drug bust. It's this is that.
Yeah.
However, I love how they just like show it like, you know, friends getting ready, you know, being responsible and just having, you know, just getting lifted.
Yeah, I'm with that because you're right. It was a kind of a stigma to it, right? Years ago. Now it's kind of like, well, that's the thing. You got a gummy before we go out. You got to eat a little smoke. So this is how we relax before we go out.
Okay. Now listen,
for those that partake.
Okay, you know it. So, that was one. And then, so they were playing this game that Kelly warned them about, that, you know, you put these questions in the hat and you ask, like, you know, what you want to know. Now, for the podcast, I did want to propose this to us. One of the questions was, if you had to spend the rest of your life with the last person you slept with, I don't know what the end of it is. Like, you know, how would it go? Or what do you think that would be? So, you know, Sharia.
Let me be careful how I answer this question. if I had to spend the rest of my life with the last person that I was intimate with, ooh, it would be a struggle. Yeah. No, it wouldn't. I don't know if it would be that fun. But the bedroom was.
Yeah, well, and so that's the same with me. Like, the last person that I was intimate with, I feel like they're a jerk, but not really. But I feel like if we had to spend the rest of our life together, I feel like we could possibly make it work.
Ooh, look at you. Yeah, mine, we're not going to make it work. Because I'd be like, calm down. You're too serious. Relax. Relax. Yeah. I need fun.
This jerker, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's a jerk. Like, you know, I had food in my kitchen, and, you know, when he was leaving, I was like, you know, you want to take this with you because I don't want it? And they was like, oh, yeah, sure. And so, you know, then the next day, I'm like, don't be Joe Bryce, just leave it alone. But then, no, of course, my Joe self texts like, hey, like, how are the leftovers? cricket. I'm like, why did I do this to myself?
Right, we always do, though.
And then, you know, 2 days later, you up. But anyway, so they play these games. They just have fun with each other. And I love to see it because, again, there is nothing that, like, replaces my good times with my friends when we just, like, you know.
And just juicy truth-telling.
Yes. And so there was a point where Issa was like, hey, Tiffany, like, I got these earrings for you. And, you know, she's like, oh, thank you. And then Molly was like, is this the last time that we all got together?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah. And then so Molly comes to this revelation where she says, being intentional with the people you love.
Yes.
And I think that that is so true, especially for young adults, you know, millennials that are around the age that we are. And we've talked about this before, is that friendships are relationships, and the older we get, the harder they are to maintain.
Absolutely. You have to nurture friendships the same way you do intimate relationships as well.
And, you know, it's going out of your way to let them know that you care. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, attending kids' birthday parties. It's attending cookouts. When you don't want to. It's setting time when you could just be laying in the bed.
Mm-hmm. So, all of those things. Yep.
All of those things. And so, you know, we know with Molly going through everything that she's going through with her mom, that, you know, time is precious. And so I loved, again, this theme of the episode was really about the friendship. And, you know, when you get together with your friends, sometimes things get revealed that people over the phone, via text, they wouldn't reveal to you.
Yeah.
And one of the things that gets revealed is that Tiffany's husband got a new job offer in Denver, and she might be leaving the group. Well, not leaving the group, but leaving the city.
Right, right. Which feels like you're leaving the group because it's just different when you're gone.
Yeah. And I've experienced this as an adult where I've had a friend group and a friend like leaves to another city, and it almost feels like a death.
It does. It does. It just like changes the dynamics, right? Like, oh, we're used to seeing each other. Even if it wasn't as often, you know, it's going to change even more when somebody's like in another city.
Right. It's more effort, more work to maintain the friendship.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that was just something that I absolutely could relate to, in the sense of like, you know, maybe my friend doesn't move away, but my friend might get married. My friend might have a child. My friend might be engaged. And the dynamic, it really does feel like a death. And it feels like, you know, you've got to, you know, have to maneuver around it. But one thing is for sure is that change is always constant. So, like, you know, the friend groups that you're in, family isn't going to be here forever. Friends aren't, you know. So it is very realistic for that conversation to be had.
Yeah. And I love how Kelly was like, well, why didn't you tell me? Because as a friend, you feel like, well, dang, was I the last person to know?
Right. And Tiffany said something that resonated with me was, if I told you, then it would make it real. And if it made it real, then I would have to deal with like everything that comes with it. And I can't tell you how many times in my life I keep things to myself for that very reason.
Absolutely. Because sometimes you have to wait to share things.
Yeah. And you have to process things yourself before you can share them with others.
Absolutely. Absolutely you do.
So that was interesting. Also, we'll get back to game night. Also, what was trending was Kendola and Lawrence.
They popped in there for a little minute.
You know, it seems that, you know, Lawrence and Kendola are getting the co-parent thing together.
For the moment.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I've heard several times via Issa, via Kelly, that Lawrence has moved back to the city.
But do we know that for sure?
So we don't know that. We have not seen the physical move. But on last week's episode and this week's episode, they reference that he has moved back.
I
don't know whether or not, but we know that Issa saw him and Kendola at the hospital and they seem to be getting along. And so Issa in her mind was like, oh, they're happy and together. Issa says that she went to his Instagram and saw he moved back and that, you know, he seemed happy and that, like, you know, she's just like, I guess I missed out. Now, Kelly and Tiffany dropped a dime that at Tiffany's child's birthday, everything wasn't so honky-dory. So, and again, I can't tell you how many times in my mind I see something and I create a narrative in my head. And
we all do.
And you believe it. So that was that. Then we kind of sort of get back to girls' night. And, you know, with Kelly being like, you know, the haunting of girls' night, you know, it always happened. So she was saying that, like, you know, it's the night of the exes. And what's her name? Molly gets a work call and goes out on the porch, and she kind of like, you know, flirty, and they all like, who was that on the phone?
Trying to get out in the business. That's what happens though. You go by, you're like, who is she talking to?
Right. And I'd be right up in the business like, who that is?
Right.
So she reveals to the girls that her and Torian have been like texting and communicating a lot more. However, like, they're each keeping it cute. Nobody's crossing that line.
Yeah.
And it is difficult when you work with someone. Some workplaces have in place that, like, you can't date employees or, like, you know. But let me propose this question to you, Riri. If you are flirting with someone at work, when is it appropriate to, like, and not cross the line, but, like, you know, give them a hint that the door is open?
Luckily, I've never really had to deal with this because I work in education and most of the men are married or they don't want me.
Okay.
However, I just, it just doesn't ever seem like it's a good idea, but it sounds cute though to, you know, talk to somebody that you work with. But I feel like you just gotta, I don't know, maybe you just gotta have boundaries. I don't know when the right time would ever be, right? But it's just right. Like any relationship, like if I'm feeling you, take this chance. Why not?
And so who do you think should make the first move? Should it be the male? Should it be the female? Or should it like, or that doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters unless they're in a position of like power at work. You know what I mean? Where someone is over another person. But in this case, in Molly's case, I'm like, one of them just has to speak up.
Right. And I low key feel like it should be Torian a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, I don't know. So they're talking about their exes and, you know, they're encouraging Molly to text Torian. They are crafting a text for Molly to send to Torian. Now, I don't like that. Y'all ain't going to take my phone.
Not the taking the phone part, but like you can definitely help me. I mean, that's what we
you
do.
You can help
like,
me.
No, we're not taking the phone, though.
So as Molly is getting ready to send the text, her old dip, as we like to call in Philly, but that means like your old little jump off, your old little flame dro calls. Now, Dro was married in an open relationship. And if the relationship is still open, Dro can dro me. What's that sweetie song called? That's my type. That's my type.
That's your type, huh?
Drow.
You felt that.
Listen, where is the, it's 'tis the season. Where is the mistletoe?
Okay.
So Dro calls and they're like, why is he calling you? And Molly's like, I don't know. And then, you know, Kelly's like, it's the thing of the exes. Everybody's the exes. Kelly like, my ex is in my DM. But Tiffany like, girl, he in your DM because you DM'd him. Now, that's me, though. Okay?
He didn't just come out the blue for you, but you signed up for that one. You was right there.
I will spice the story to my friends. Like, listen, they texted me. Like, no, good, knowing good and well. That's
funny.
And Issa gets the courage to call Lawrence. But they quickly hang up the phone and like, girl, what are you doing? And Molly gives her good advice. She says, if Sober You Tomorrow wants to talk to him, then call him.
Oh, man. Listen, when you are under the influence, I tell you, sometimes you will call anybody. Listen, made some calls I regretted the next morning.
You ever wake up the next day and look through your call log or your text and be like, oh,
like, why? Why
would you do that? Like, why do you,
yes.
Then it's like, oh, then you give them the upper hand. Like, no, we ain't doing that.
I literally, on those tipsy drunk nights, I definitely have to be like, nope, not gonna do it.
That's why I'm very good for deleting a number and blocking it. So
I was like that.
But see, it doesn't really help because then you can just go into your blocked numbers and like you see the number that like so, but I mean it is like you do have to think about it while you're doing it. So while you are going into the unblocked and looking at the number, you could be like, is this really what you want to do?
Yeah think about it.
But also like while Issa calls Lawrence and Condola are really kind of figuring out co-parenting and they're
having a nice little moment, right?
They were absolutely having a nice little moment. And then I was thinking like, ooh, is this what Sharia predicted? The sleepover?
Yep, it's coming.
However, I thought that they handled it like, you know, Lawrence put up a shelf, washing the dishes, they're telling stories. And, you know, Lawrence was like, you know, baby, I don't know what the baby name is, but baby Lawrence is like the best thing to happen to my life. And Condola says, I'm so happy to hear that. And she goes to reveal, we don't really know what, but I'm assuming that when they were not together and she was pregnant, that she possibly could have considered an abortion. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, she says to him, I want you happy. Like, I see all of the sacrifices that you have made, but I still want you to live a happy life. And for me, that was almost telling her to be like, that was Condola telling Lawrence, like, live your life. Like, we're not a thing, and live your life.
Yep.
And to the viewers, it's really like, go get Issa.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence says the same thing to her, and, you know, he picks up his coat and leaves. I was like, ooh. So I guess that's like, that really kind of, maybe for us as viewers, it ends the Condola and Lawrence possibly being in a relationship. I feel like that kind of wrapped that up.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay, I can see that happening. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it was a good co-parenting moment. Maybe that was the moment they were like you said, they both said, I want you to be happy, and this is it.
Right, because I felt like if it was them, it would be like, because I felt like multiple times during that conversation, Lawrence was like referencing when they were together.
Yeah.
And he wasn't necessarily referencing that in the future tense.
Mm-hmm. This is true. This is true. You might be right. I can't wait to see how that plays out.
Yeah. So the girls' night ends. The ladies go home. Nathan calls Issa. And what did he tell Issa?
What did he tell her?
Oh.
I'm like.
So he calls and tells Issa that he's sorry about how he handled things and that he loved her and has always loved her.
Oh, yes. You know, my mind was still on, oh boy, I had to switch back over to Nathan.
You was on Lawrence like a dollar.
I was still on Lawrence. I was like, wait, what did he
Or
say?
Was you on Dro?
No, you were on Dro.
Okay. I'm
yes. Now, okay, I found, okay, sorry. I literally was still on Lawrence in my head like, wait, what did he tell her?
So, yeah, he calls and, you know, puts this dilemma on Issa. Mm-hmm. And again, I feel like the way that the episode is going, the way that they are narrating it, is Issa's not happy in this relationship. Well, I mean, she's saying she loves him, but everything else reveals that, like, this is more of a relationship of convenience than a relationship of actual love.
I think she's also trying to really get over Lawrence, right? Mm, and so that's that convenience part that you're talking about. Because she said earlier, like, when the girls are like, I mean, I've done it before, I can move on, you know, she was even talking about him. So I think she's trying to make this work for her own mental, like, nope, can't have Lawrence, so I'm gonna just do what I do while he's around. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I think she's kind of trying to do.
And is that fair to Nathan? Is that fair to her? Like, you know.
Yeah, it's not fair to either of them.
Right. And who knows that if, like, she was 100% in, could this be a relationship that could work?
Hmm.
Who knows? But we clearly see as the viewers, she has not said it, but we 6 seasons in, we know Issa at this point. And, of course, the episode ends with who calls Issa back?
And Lawrence.
Mm. He calls back. However, Issa shows some restraint and does not pick up.
Woo! Do you know how hard that was for her? I know, because I've been there.
And I wonder, has she not, if Nathan did not call, would she have picked up that phone? Like, you know what I mean? Like, now she feels obligated in this, like, I love you relationship with Nathan that... you know, are you going to do to Nathan what you did to Lawrence first season? Like, you know, like, is this the full circle that we have come?
Even though, like, I kind of want to see her back with Lawrence, I still, I like, mean, I'm so happy, though, that she kind of played her cards in that situation. Like, nope, I got the control. Nope, not answering.
Well, we only have a couple of episodes left. However, the way the narrative is definitely looking, they wrapping things up with Lawrence and Condola. And we see Issa and Nathan might be saying, I love you, but it's not like a solid situation.
No, it's definitely still up in the air for sure.
So, I mean, again, I've said it before, I'm a lover of Issa and Lawrence. However, I just don't know if I really want to see, like, I don't know if I want the show to end with them getting back together, because I don't know how realistic that is.
Absolutely.
Maybe it is realistic.
That's the part, though, that I'm saying, like, no, most of us, our stuff don't end like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, no, they need a fresh start. Both of them. That's how it needs to end. Even
so,
though it'd be so cute if they were together.
I mean, maybe it ends with them being on speaking terms and the possibility is open. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Again, listen, I'm
speculation.
Speculation, and I'm thirsting for these next two episodes so we can figure it out.
I know, because I'm like, Nathan, he's just, he don't add no value. He's just there.
Yeah, no, it's just like, why y'all bring him back? Yeah. And I really feel like they're going to leave it that, like, Issa's going to break his heart.
Of course.
And, you know, he's just getting his mental health together. He's being open. He's being honest in the court. Like I said before, that's always how it goes. Like, yeah, in this game of love, mm-hmm, when you ready to love somebody, the person that you love is chasing somebody after. Like, it's yep, just this.
That's how it be. That's the thing about timing in life, right? With people that you love. I truly believe it's all about timing. And sometimes you got to wait for it to align. Mm. And sometimes it doesn't.
Well, they say if it's true love, you can let it go and it'll come back.
So they say.
Child, I'm waiting for that boomerang to come back. So they be lying.
Let me know when it come back to you.
Right. Okay, listen, because I'm looking out the window now. And it's a clear sky. I don't see anything. It's the season. But yes, so that is the two episodes of Insecure. Sharia, thank you as always for coming back and busting it down for us and giving us the tea. You have a very busy week ahead of you, so I am sending you love and light.
Thank you, friend. Thank you. Your positive energy is going to, you know, boost me into this week.
Yes. Yes, girl. I got the Zoom link and I will be on mute. Okay, listen. Yeah.
Mute and no camera. Okay.
Okay. Don't call or text.
Oh, my friend said, it's the rules for me.
Yes. But listen, sometimes you have to be very clear. And maybe after the next, you know, after the next two episodes, we can come back and share with the posse what we're talking about.
Yes. Can't wait to see our predictions, how they come true or not.
Yes. Oh, they coming true, though. But yes. So I need everyone this week to send positive vibes and love to Sharia. And we will be back in 2 weeks.
See y'all soon.
Purple pants promotion. And we are back this week with another Purple Pants Promotions. I'm so excited to welcome my Temple alum classmate to the podcast. So I want to formally welcome to the podcast, Michelle Williams.
Yes, period, Pooh. Here yeah. I is.
Yeah, okay. I heard you was looking for me. Here I go. So I am so excited to have you on the podcast because you are releasing a new book, and I've created this segment on my podcast called Purple Pants Promotions to really like be able to highlight people that are doing amazing things. And you, of course, are one of those people that are out here in this world doing amazing things.
Thank you. I mean, I'm trying to do something out here, man.
Yes. So before we even get into the book, so I wanted like people to know like who you are, your background. And so me and Michelle, we went to Temple together. We majored in education, but I always like to ask when I have like friends that I went to school with or anything, like, what do you remember about me from back in the day in school?
Ooh, child, let's see. What don't I remember about Bray? For one thing, you were just like energy. And what's crazy is like every time we didn't actually even hang out with one another a whole lot, but every time we encountered one another, it was just like love, yes, period, like just love and energy, and it was consistent.
Yes.
So you know, that says everything about what I remember about you.
Yeah.
What do you remember about me?
So I remember we had a lot of classes together because we both were education majors. Yes. And I remember you being outspoken. I remember, like, if you disagreed or did not like something, you were very vocal about it. Okay. I definitely remember that. And yeah, I just always remember positive energy. And there aren't a lot of people that I remember, like, when I see people in the street, like, I'm like, oh, they went to Temple. But there isn't a lot of people that I per se remember by, like, name and different things. And you are definitely one of those people that I, like, when I think of Temple, you're probably, like, the five people that I think of.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Yo, that is so funny you say that, because I guess one thing about me is I am consistent, child. I will say what's on my mind.
Yes. Like, you did not hold back. I was like, who is this girl? Okay. I feel like we need to be friends. But
mouth almighty.
Okay. Since you graduated from Temple, what have you gone on to do?
So when I graduated Temple, I started teaching at Harding Middle School. It was a school up in Frankfurt area off Torresdale. I was actually there for like 6 years, which is not common. Usually teachers like bounce and bounce and bounce. So I stayed there, taught all kinds of special education classes from autistic support, emotional support, co-taught math. So that was like really my jam. Then I went on to teach in a charter, had to move back home to take care of my father back home in Allentown. And then I am now back where I belong in this city, because home is where your heart is. So I hear.
Yes.
And I've been back in Philly for about 2 years now.
Yes. And so you say that you taught in like the Frankfurt section of Philadelphia, and any of the listeners that are listening, it's definitely an urban setting. What do you feel like, what was your observation teaching in a setting like that? And clearly you said you stayed for 6 years. So what were some of the things, as like a new teacher, did you see in the school district of Philadelphia teaching in the Frankfurt section?
So, all right. Let me just be discerning with my words. So any new teacher, right, it doesn't even matter where they're located, right? They're going to typically struggle. Because I did not start as like a brand new to the classroom teacher, because while at Temple, I was actually running educational programming for a nonprofit, I already had a lot of at-bats with like how to talk with parents, how to run a class with 75 kids. It was just me in the Saturday program. So when I did finally get into a class in school, I didn't feel like a new teacher. Like, they didn't believe I was a first year teacher. They were like, what? I'm like, yes, this is my first year. So because I had that confidence and that background coming in from my nonprofit experience, it was fun. I mean, I love the kids. I love the parents. The biggest thing is really always going to be administration. And it doesn't matter if it's Frankfurt section, Northeast, Northwest, like there's always dynamics that you have to navigate within the school district when it comes to admin. But if you're a teacher and you know why you're there, right, you know you're there to service families and kids, you will find the joy that will make you stay in a place 5, 6, 7 years.
Yes, I love that. And then I also have a question, because a lot of listeners to the podcast are in school. Some of them are like in for social work. Some of them are in for education. What are maybe like two or three advice that you would give to a new teacher that might be graduating in January or graduating in May and going into a classroom? What is something that if you could tell yourself before you got in that classroom, what's a gem that you could drop to them to help their career off on a better start?
Ooh, okay. So yes,
I'm hitting you with the questions.
Yes. And that's okay. Let's see. One thing I would say is to implement a work-life balance right away. Right away. Don't wait till you are 10 years deep off the, like, 1 foot off the edge of burnout, trying to like implement some kind of healthy work-life balance. Don't do that to yourself. Okay. Because it's very easy to be a first year teacher and want to do all the things and volunteer for all the things. Like, yes, I'll do that after school. Yes, I'll do this tutoring. Yeah. Okay. So like, implement that work-life balance. No is an acceptable answer, especially if you're not being compensated. Second thing would be to know your North Star. So my North Star was service. Like everything about the way I approach teaching and working with families, it's a service industry for me in my heart. I'm here to provide a service. I'm here to help my parents and teachers and our students. And so like that was my North Star, whatever your North Star, like the reason why you got into education, hold that close and like keep that very close to your heart, because education is messy. Like it's messy. I told my students at Temple, I'm adjuncting at Temple now, like don't get caught up in like the twists and the turns and the constant changes and try to make sense of it, because a lot of it don't make sense.
Right.
So you have to be able to move like water. Okay, just like ebb and flow with the changes, but just know why you're there and keep your North Star, whatever that may be. And then third, have fun. Relationships over content. You're not going to teach a kid a daggone thing if they don't know you, they don't like you. You got to like them. Like, it's okay to spend the first few weeks of school doing 60% relationship building and 40% content. Yes, I said that. Because by the time it's like when you need to like teach some of that content, you'll have so much of the culture of your classroom built around relationships and respect and love that you can teach them anything and they'll be ready to receive it.
Yes, I love that. Yes. And I lead by that in doing social work, is that, you know, I can come in with a goal, like, you know, I'm here for a reason to specifically, you know, this behavior or whatever is going on. And I could come in and be like, this is what we need to do. And they're not going to receive it. And so I always try to like go in with, you know, relationship building. And my motto is I always try to treat any new client that I have like a family member. And so that's kind of sort of how I lead. So I love that. And I'm surprised you ain't say have the classroom on point, because I know for them 6 years that you was teaching on the social media,
I know
you would be having no classrooms up and out. I'm like, oh my God, look at Michelle.
So listen, right? Like, I'm an artist. So like, I draw, I paint, I write, I create. So like, when it comes to designing and putting together a classroom, that's like interior design. That's another art form. So like, yes, it was always impeccable. Like, you want your space to be inviting. You want kids to walk in. You want parents to walk in and just feel good about the space. Who wants to go to a place every day for 181 days and it looks like trash? You're going to reciprocate that energy, right? Yes. But when your classroom's on point and it's beautiful and it's clean and you make the students a part of the classroom, like every year I taught my students had chores.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about even my emotional support students. Like at the end of the day, we were vacuuming, wiping down the Clorox, wiping the desk, you know, all the works, all the things, because it's your classroom too. So yeah, that is actually like a key element to good teaching that gets overlooked a lot.
Yes. I remember like every August you will be up in there like getting it together. And then September you will be like, I remember, I don't know what. It was 1 year that I guess you were like out for a couple of days and you came back and you was like, look at my classroom. Okay.
Oh, yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. I remember.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
So let's get to the reason why you are here on the podcast today. I'm so proud of you. Released a new book, and it's called Little Z and Firefly, A Journey to Finding Love, Light and Love. So break it down. Tell us what this book is about. Tell, like, you know, just get into the tea.
Okay. Whew, mercy. All right. So the ebook is out and the paperback is coming. I wanted to order a demo and get it in my hands and see it. So it's ready. So it's going to drop like it's hot any minute now, definitely before Christmas. So y'all can grab it for your little loved ones and little nephews and nieces. So I wrote this book after experiencing a lot of trauma. I had been in a pretty dark place after So I guess there's no way of avoiding talking about this, Bryce. I'm just going to say the things. I'm sure this is like not what you expected, but in 2017,
it's a safe space. So, you know, my podcast is all about, you know, transparency, being vulnerable, and releasing that into the world. So no, this is definitely a safe space. I just want you to know that before you go into whatever you're about to share, just know that like it will be received with love.
Thank you. I've never talked about this publicly, but it's hard. I can't talk about the book without talking about things. So in 2017, I was sexually assaulted in my home. And it pretty much rocked my entire universe off kilter, as expected, right? And so during that time of like my low point, someone in my life, my Aunt Etta, who is like the most amazing, beautiful, caring woman in the entire universe, was really encouraging me, really pouring into me, really teaching me about mirror work, how to look at yourself and say, I love you. Because that was a very hard thing to do for a long time. And so the school year, my assault happened in April. The next school year, around September, I met a young lady who was just an absolute light. I mean, this baby walked in the door and she's like, I am here. All the things are amazing. And I recognize that in her. And I'm always this teacher who can like see past, you know, negative behavior from, you know, most teachers like to be, oh, that kid don't listen.
Right.
But that don't really be it, right? There's always more to why children are behaving the way they do. And so she might have been exhibiting some behaviors, but I could still see the light. So come to find out, she shared with me, and it's okay that I share this because we've talked about it openly about what she wants me to share, what permissions I have to share. And she just turned 18. Oh my God, my baby turned 18. She's like very comfortable with me sharing. She was experiencing some sexual assault herself. And we at the school were going back and forth with Childline, trying to like do all the things, right? We're mandatory reporters.
Right.
Not going to go down that lane because I'm sure you know, Bryce, a lot of things get like lost in the sauce when you're trying to do right by children. And so eventually we got her to self-report and it triggered a whole bunch of actions really fast. And what was going to happen is she was going to go to a shelter. I knew that that was not going to be conducive to her mental health. And I volunteered. I said, can I take her? I'll take her temporarily for however long until we need to get her into a proper foster care system. That way she didn't have to go to a shelter placement. And they said, yes. So in like 48 hours, I transformed my tiny little apartment and made it into like a home for a 14-year-old and did all the things, bought all the clothes, got all the, like, just put everything together. And I welcomed her in my home for about 3 months. Over those 3 months, I then just did all the things that I was doing for myself, right? That my aunt was doing, teaching her to look at herself and say kind things, you know, journaling. Those are all the tools that are in my book, keeping, creating order, like getting up and making the bed every day. That one thing, just that one piece of thing that you can control and have order over. Joy. Oh my goodness. Joy. Getting her back into doing the things that she would love. She would love to write. She loved to draw. She loved to do all kinds of things. So really fostering, encouraging that. And definitely like negative self-talk. Oh my goodness. She used to talk so poorly about herself. And so I started doing this thing. Every time she said something unkind about herself, I would keep track on a tally mark. And I'm so petty. So by the end of the night, if she had to say double. So she said 5 negative things about herself, she'd have to say 10. I don't care if she said she liked the eyelashes. Like, you have to say 10 kind things about yourself. And eventually, over the few months that she was there, she realized, she was like, Madre, because she called me Madre. Madre, I don't say mean things about myself anymore. I'm like, yeah, I know. I noticed. I've been noticed. So like these things work, but they take time to implement. And so the experience of having her in my home was beautiful. We did a lot of healing and loving on one another to heal ourselves emotionally and mentally. And one night I don't even remember what it was. Like, I don't remember what the trigger was, but this story just poured out of me and I started drawing. I did not write the book first. I drew it. So here I am up 4 o'clock in the morning working on this like cartoon boxes. I like drew it all out. I started again. I did it again. And then I got this huge poster board of canvas paper, watercolor paper, and drew the entire story out. And then went back and then added the text. And that storyboard that I sketched is exactly what my illustrator took to make my images digital. So like, it's pretty awesome feeling to know that like, yeah, that's my drawing. Those are my sketches to make this story come to life. So yeah, that is how we got here. This little V and Firefly. Definitely been a labor of love.
I love it. And I love how you're like, it was pouring out of you, like literally, like no words, no, pouring, like, you know, no like, words. You know, coming out. And I just think so many people in life, myself included, like we experience these traumas. And I think in the nature of the society that we're in or how we are raised, like we're taught to keep it inside. We're taught to like not talk about it. And I always say it like manifests itself. And like sometimes negative behavior, sometimes, you know, just you do certain things and you don't understand why. And I love the fact that you're able to take a negative and you're able to inspire others. You're able to, you know, be your aunt to someone else. And I think that that is so important. And I'm just a huge proponent of like self-reflection. And, yes. You know, I always try to talk to myself every night before I go to bed. And like, you know, there are things that I don't like, things that I want to change, but I always try to put a positive spin on it. So I love that. And I, it's just so inspiring. And,
Thank you.
Of course, anyone that's listening is so inspiring that like, you know, no matter what your circumstances are, like that does not determine your happiness. It's like you determine your happiness and no one can take that away from you.
Absolutely. You write your narrative. You write the ending to your story. And it's just like, it's hard in the moment. It's hard in the moment because you think like that's your whole entire worldview. Right. It's hard to see that there can even be a possible out of it. So like when my aunt was my firefly, right, the one encouraging me, like it was hard. It wasn't like this, okay, I'm just going to say nice things. Like, it was hard to even look at myself. The shame you feel that comes with that kind of trauma, it takes a long time. Like, this book was written 3 years ago, you know? Like, it takes going on 4 years ago. It takes a very long time. And so the fact that I was attempting to even be the firefly to little Z, and even though I was still little Z myself, like it's a lot. But it's beautiful that we were able to get through and keep healing. I always frame like people who are, I'll speak for myself. Like I always frame my assault as like surviving, ING. Right? I'm a surviving sexual assault, right? Because it's like, it doesn't stop, right? Like it doesn't end. Like, okay, check marks and over it. Like it's a constant work. So like this book is important because if you can implement these things into your just daily living, right? It'll help the ING part, right? Help you just keep pushing forward. Because when you go through things, some things, right? Like it's not like you have an illness, right? And I can survive it because I've overcome it. The cancer's gone, you know, like it doesn't really happen like that with some things. So definitely appreciative of the process.
Absolutely. And would you categorize this book as a, like, is it a journal? Is it a self-motivation?
Yeah, it's like a self, it's like a self-help book, right? It's a book that teaches children the different tools to use when they find themselves in the dark place. Like the dark place for us, we call that depression, right? Mm-hmm. People don't realize that kids go through a lot, and they go through all the same emotional range that us adults do, but we don't typically validate their feelings. And we typically try to say like, oh, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You ain't got no bills. Okay, that doesn't mean that they're not hurting. Right. They're sad. And now that you shut down when they're trying to express that they're feeling sad to their worldview, they may be sad about something that happened in school. But, you know, if they have a tool and an outlet to express those things for themselves, it's better for them to be able to process in case they don't have a parent or guardian or, you know, someone that they can turn to. But it's also a book for adults too, and caretakers, Bryce, because the Firefly has to learn that, like, you can't just make someone happy. Hmm. Right? Like, you can't be a parent or a teacher or whoever and just be like, here's all the things. I'm buying you this. I'm giving you that. Why aren't you happy or why aren't you satisfied? It doesn't work like that, right? That person, that child has to be like ready to receive, mm-hmm. right? Anyone, and not even child, just in life. Right. When you're trying to help someone, that person has to be ready to receive it. And you can't help someone by doing the work for them, but you can empower them. Right. By giving them actual tools and strategies to empower themselves. So the book is so transversive throughout all ages. But it is marketed as a children's book because I care deeply about adults' mental health. So I figure, listen, we can start them young, give them all these tools.
Right.
You know, they can be more, you know, healthier adults in the future.
Yes, I love that. And I'm like, as you're talking, I'm like, well, where can I get this book at? Okay, because I'm ready to order my copy now.
Thank you. So it will be on Amazon. The ebook is there if you want to pre-order the ebook. And the paperback should be out within the next 2 weeks, or I'll say week. Just have to finalize some things. I want to get that proof in my hand so I can see it and look at it and feel it and be like, okay, yes.
And for you and to then, take it in for yourself, yeah, and be like, you created this. Yes.
Yeah, man. Take that moment to be like, whoa.
Yeah, and take that moment to remember that, guess what? I'm still surviving and mm-hmm. thriving.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All the things. And then what'll happen is there's actually going to be a workbook that comes out so that the parents can have an actual tool for the kids to use in real time. So it's not just like, oh, here's this book that's cute. No, actually go get your workbook and go journal, or go get your workbook and let's remember that we need to keep order. Like, so something for kids to actually utilize in a real tangible way. So just a lot of things coming down the pipeline.
Yes. And we will definitely keep our ears and eyes to the streets. And when it's available now on ebook on Amazon. And when the hardback copy comes out, we'll be sure to post the link. Where can people follow you at, or follow this journey if they want to come along with Little Z and the Firefly journey? Where can they follow you at?
Yes, they can go to littlez_firefly Instagram. So at littlez_firefly. And then there's a link to my personal Instagram if you want to follow me there as well. That's nor this nor that, all one word, Instagram also.
Yes. Well, I'm so proud of you, Michelle. I'm so honored that thank you would come, you. Of course, and share your story with us here on the Purple Pants Podcast. And I love, like we were talking before, like when I was in Temple, I didn't think that, like when I graduated, I was like, I really leave with no friends, no connections. And I always see like these people at different schools and they're like, they're all so close. But I think that everything is in due timing, because mm-hmm. I feel like within like the last year and a half, I've made so many connections with people that I've gone to school with. And I'm just like, wow, dang. Like, you know, like, where was that at then? But it doesn't matter because we're here now.
It's here now. Right. It's here now. Definitely. So, it feels good to be circling back and teaching back at Temple. It's so cool.
Yes. Full circle.
teaching in Ritter Hall, Bryce.
Oh my God, not Ritter Hall. Well, yes. Mind you, that's where we had most of our classes at.
I know. Second floor.
Okay.
It's so cool. It's really beautiful to come full circle like that. Yes, for sure.
I love it. Well, congratulations. And I'm speaking success unto this
thank
book.
You.
And so
take
make
it.
Sure. Yes. And make sure Purple Pants Posse, you get behind this and, you know, you follow Little Z and Firefly. Click the link, get you your ebook. And when the hard copy comes out, make sure you support my girl, Michelle. It's been an honor. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I love you. And I'm so proud of you. Ugh. Child, that's a whole nother podcast. Okay. Just doing the damn thing. I'm so proud of you.
I appreciate that. Well, you know, see you, Simple May, okay?
Hey, period.
And we are back this month with your Purple Pants Premonitions, brought to you none other then by our gangster, that is the Gurry. Welcome back to the podcast, Gangster Gurry.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you guys doing out there on this wonderful month of December? What's the tea, y'all?
Yes.
Okay, in the building. She back. She here. She ready to go ahead and tell you what the tea is for the last month of the year. Come on, bars. Okay.
Okay, listen. Come on. Okay.
Okay, listen. She got bars this morning. She ready to go. No, I'm so happy to be back. It's so crazy that we have made it to the month of December. Like, we are at the end of 2021. To me, that is so wild because this year has been flying by. Okay. It's like I turned around and yesterday was August, child.
Right. That's what I was literally telling my friend that the day. I was like, I was on the phone with her and I'm like, I remember in June being like, it's about to be December.
Mm-hmm.
And it's December. So mind you, I'm going to claim this right now. It's December, about to be June. Okay.
Okay. Listen, the way the time is going, it's just like, I can't keep up. And I was about to say, if I didn't have a calendar or a clock, I would have no idea what time of the year it is, because it just feels like everything is moving really fast and we're just trying to keep up with everything. We just got through eclipse season, and I don't know about y'all, if y'all know about eclipse season, but that's when things start speeding up even more, and then it's just like everybody's out there acting crazy energy, chaotic energy all over the place. So I feel like I am looking forward to the rest of December slowing up just a little bit, so that way we can go into 2022 with some power, with some peace, and with a new state of mind, you know, as we've gotten through the last 2 years of the 20s, I guess you could say. It's been an intense time, to say the least. So I'm looking forward to something feeling a little bit more grounding, a little bit more stabilizing. And it's just like, what have I learned over the last 2 years, and how can I show up as that person in that energy every single day, knowing that, you know what, I don't have to worry about what anybody else is saying about me, what they got going on about me, because I have a plan, I have a mission, I got a goal that I'm trying to reach. And I feel like that is what this last month of December of 2021 is telling us to lean into. So I want to go ahead and get into this tea, because listen, I was feeling real nosy this morning before I hopped on, and I was like, let me get a little tea beforehand so that way I can make sure I prepare appropriately for this reading that I want to offer to you guys. So for anybody that's new out there, this is a general guidance reading. Essentially what I do is pull cards, and the cards related to whatever energy we have going on around us at this time. This is a little bit of, we'll give you, it's like a little insight, like how can you get your goal started? You feel what I'm saying? Like, you know, you out there in the streets, life is happening, and it's just like, well, how can I stay focused? How can I stay grounded within myself, knowing that this is what the energy is supporting? So I have two oracle cards from the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck, and then I also have two tarot cards from the Guardian Angel tarot card deck by Radley Valentine. Our messages for this last month of December are represented in the Dragon Totem and the Lion Totem. Okay, so I want you to sit and think about, right, okay, it's giving very fierce, okay, very fresh, very all over the place, very magical, very ethereal, because when you think about a dragon, right, you think about something that's powerful, something that obviously flies, that are dragons real? Like, it's this sense of mystery, it's this sense of the unknown, but it's also this sense of, you know, power. It's this sense of really being rooted in who you are and knowing that wherever you show up, you will be received, because listen, when you show up in a room, people can't miss you. You are a shining star, and it's just like your energy pops no matter where you go. And along with the lion, when you think about a lion, I want you to just, you know, go through the adjectives that come to your mind. So I think of courageous, you know, full of strength, very, as Bryce said, very wow, you know what I'm saying? Very feisty. Okay. So how are you allowing these two energies to coincide with one another as you are stepping into this new year, as you are maneuvering throughout this month of December? I mean, we're still in holiday season. You know, the girls may try to try you, but at the end of the day, you'll be like, you know what? I'm not going to let you give me all that, because I know who I am, and I'm not going to play these games with you, because I ain't got no time for that. Okay. So with the dragon and the lion totem, so dragon totems are normally revered as finding your voice, right? Being heard, being truly understood. Dragon spirits are drawn to people of intellect, dignity, authority, right? So I want you to think about how you are stepping in your authority, how you are knowing that no matter where you go, you are worthy of respect. You're not going to let anybody tell you how you act. And there may be some people that try to come at you sideways, but do you have to play into that energy, right? Do you also have to play into that energy when it comes to yourself this month? You know, we've done so much work to become these powerful beings. We've done so much work to become grounded in who we are and know who we are wanting to become as we go into this next year, right? So I want you to take some time to reflect on how powerful and how aware of your true north you are as you are going through this last month. You know, when is the last time you've given yourself some gratitude for being able to stand on your own two feet and make some things happen where you didn't think there was a way? And the dragon totem is showing up to tell you the greater the effort, the greater the rewards, okay? And then along with the lion spirit, you know, lion spirits, they symbolize external power. They symbolize forces that dominate or rule parts of your life. So it's all about you having courage to go through any issues that you may be dealing with in this season, okay? So I want you to think about, for me, this comes up as like family. This comes up as, you know, sometimes when you move away, or maybe you're not in your home state potentially, or maybe you are, but every time you have to go back home, it's like a sense of you learning more about who you are today and maybe where people thought you were a certain type of way, and you are growing into who you truly want to become. So what are some of your big dreams? What are some of your big goals that you have when it comes to just being your most authentic self? You know, you don't have to slow up when it comes to sharing your voice. You don't have to slow up when it comes to saying how you feel and letting other people in to who you truly are and how you want to bring them into these different parts of your life. So I want you to think about some aspects or some relationships that you may be dealing with in this season, and you really just want to step in your own personal power as you are going throughout the rest of this year. How's that sound to you over there, Bryce?
I'm feeling it. I'm receiving it. You know, I want to be financially independent or financially free, unhinged. Mm-hmm. I want to get this credit off my back.
Amen.
So, listen, that's what I'm claiming.
Okay, listen, and it's like you already have the vision. You already know what needs to be done in order for this to happen. And now it's just about you knowing and affirming that you can do this. Like, what are some of the things that may have stopped you from being able to step into financial freedom? Or maybe you thinking, oh, I won't be able to until I'm X age. It's like you're limiting yourself, right? And as you allow yourself to know that this is what I got going on, this is the plan that I have, this is how much I've learned for me to even want to be able to do this, that's how you assure yourself that you're going to step in with a big old W. So I want you to keep in mind,
while we're assuring stuff, I'm going to assure me a house. I want to assure me a man.
Okay.
I want to assure me positive thoughts over myself and, like, you know, letting go of that negative energy that I sometimes carry with me, and that, like, you know, I think negatively first before I think positively, you know, just putting it all on the table.
Okay. And that's the beginning of self mastery. Okay. Self transformation.
Come
that's
on, Super Soul Sunday.
Okay. Listen, you know me. I got to bring a little for the girls out here in the streets. No, but this is really all about you allowing yourself to know that you are learning who you are and becoming better at that. You can't do anything else but be the best version of you. And sometimes that looks, you know, very prim and proper. Sometimes it's a little gritty. You know what I mean? It's a little dutty. But at the end of the day, that's still your personal power. And it's very important for you to remember that when you stay plugged into that attitude of gratitude, you can go for the gold any single time. Now, our final messages come from the messenger of thought, and out with the old, in with the new. The messenger of thought says, a new topic or intellectual project is really exciting for you. There's so much to learn before you feel ready to move forward. New information may require changes to your plans. Review all documents carefully. You know, will meet, or are someone who loves to learn and share knowledge. This person is brilliant and truthful, but also blunt and not very diplomatic. So this is a sign there may be some people out there that are wanting to start a new career, maybe want to start picking up a new talent, a new hobby. And you may feel like, well, where do I begin? What's the first step I should take? And it's really just you knowing that, like, I want to begin with this new opportunity. I want to try something that, you know, has been in the back of my mind. I've been a little scared. I want to do all my research and everything. And it's like, you know, the best time is now. So how about you just go ahead and get, you know, get that ass in gear. I can't even lie about it. You got to go ahead and make sure that if that's what you want to do, just go ahead and start. You got to begin somewhere. So stop second guessing yourself or waiting until, you know, oh, I'm waiting until the first of the year, whatever, whatever. Like, why don't you start today? Why don't you start putting together the ideas today? And then without with the old, in with the new, it says heaven is showing you a sign. It's time to move in a new direction. Often this is because you're not happy and feel a lack of purpose in your life. This is a wake-up call to make changes that match your heart's desires and your spiritual truths. So who are you today? Not who you were, you know, last year, not who you were 5 years ago. Who are you today and what do you want to do today? And how do you assure yourself that you're ready to go ahead and make something new happen? It's time for you to go ahead, close some chapters, and know that you are starting in this fresh new cycle of energy. We just stepped out of eclipse season. And eclipses are, I think of them as like benchmarks of life. It's like, this is the theme of life that I'm living in right now. And this final solar eclipse that we just went through is helping us to close up chapters so that way we can start new ones based on this lunar eclipse we had in Taurus at the end of November. So I want you to think, what are some of the new things that you've been wanting to put your energy into? What are some things that you've been interested in trying out? Maybe it's something with like your job and they've given you a new task, you know, a new responsibility to take on. And you've been seeing, hey, I actually like this. Like, maybe I want to lean into this a little bit more. Maybe I want to study this a little bit more. This is the time to go ahead and start putting that energy where you know you deserve to. Okay.
Yes.
So that's my general reading for the month of December. It's pretty light. I just want you guys to remember that this month is really all about stepping into the attitude of gratitude, this season of transformation, and knowing that wherever your energy and intention goes, that's where the positivity flows. So stay focused, stay optimistic, and stay vigilant. Because I also want to say people may try you. You know what I'm saying? People may have some words. People may say something. You'd be looking at them with a little face like, huh? Like, what is you really trying to say? And they may be trying to get a rise out of you. But that doesn't mean that you have to play into that game. You know what's going on. You got your eyes. Your peepers is open. Your spirit is telling you, they're trying to play you. They're trying to pull this energy out of you. You'd be like, you know what? Actually, I'm not giving you that. I know who I am. I know what I came here to do. And you ain't got to ask me nothing else. Okay.
Yes. I am here for it. I love the message of December. Okay, we leaving all of that 2021 behind us. And okay, we are transforming into the new and improved and better version of ourselves.
Amen. Okay.
I can't thank you enough, Gangsta Gurry, for providing us with a whole year's worth of forecast readings and love pouring into us. It's really what the Purple Pants podcast and the Purple Pants Premonitions is all about. I hope that, you know, throughout these 12 months, you guys have been able to receive the messages. And listen, if you like, oh my God, this is the first time I'm hearing Gangsta Gurry. Well, listen, you could go back to the Purple Pants podcast and replay some of the messages, because they are they hit. When I tell you they hit.
But, okay,
before we go, where can the people find you at? What if they want a personal reading? What if they got a question? What's the tea? Drop the tea.
Listen, Purple Pants Posse, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your family for another full year. I'm so full of gratitude and so full of thanks for having the opportunity to do this for you guys. If you are interested in finding me on social media or procuring your own services, you can find me, Gangsta Gurry, Gangsta with an A, because we don't do that. E-R, Buster Foster-ish over here. You can find me on Patreon, where I like to give a personal touch to some of my readings. And if you're interested in your own personal services, reach out to me, gangsterguri@gmail.com. Can't wait to see you guys in 2022, okay?
Yes, but before 2022, if you guys are coming to the Bryce and Wynn Presents, Gangsta Gurry has confirmed he will be in the building.
Yes, so he will.
Make sure you guys say hi. And yeah, I'm excited to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, it's going to be lit. And I'm looking forward to being able to close out 2021 with my famous, my favorite bitch. Okay?
Yes. And that is your December 2021 Purple Pants Premiere.
Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message. Barb's got a message for you. Barb's got a message for you.
This is Miss Barb. And you know, sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to do. To move on. To leave behind something that's not meant for you. To walk away from something you never imagined you'd have to walk away from. But sometimes it's the very thing that will set you free. It's the very thing that will allow you to start healing and finding your light again. It may take every single ounce of your courage, strength, and bravery to move on and to walk away. It can bring you days or even weeks of tears. It can even hurt like hell. But when something is no longer meant for you, my beautiful friend, you must move on. You must not keep carrying the unnecessary weight and the heavy burdens. You must not continue to hurt yourself for people and places simply not meant for you. You don't have to have a clue for what's coming next either. Because when you move on from what is not right for you, you'll make space for what is meant for you. And that, my dear friend, makes all the difference. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are here at this week's Freak of the Week. And when I was reflecting about what could or should be the Freak of the Week, it really came to me. And I was like, you know what? Let me give some props to Survivor. So this week's Freak of the Week is CBS Survivor. After last week's emotional episode, when we saw it Tribal Council with Deshaun, Liana, and Danny really speaking about what it's like to be Black and playing the game of Survivor, it really touched a lot of people. And when you see positive imagery like that of Black people, Black men, Black women, all people of color, I think that we need to take the time to acknowledge it and praise it. You know, we were on a campaign last year to diversify Survivor, not just in front of the camera, but behind the camera. And CBS answered the call. And we have season 41. And it is the most diverse season ever. And it is a great season. And I just am so happy to be able to be proud to be a Black gay man loving this show of Survivor. You get to see the rainbow of people, personalities, gender. genders, everything. And here's hoping to keeping Survivor diverse moving forward. I'm excited to see season 42. I'm excited to see how this season going to end. But I just really wanted to take the time to acknowledge that very powerful episode. And I hope that people watching the show, listening to the podcast, that they take something out of it and they can implement something like that into their own life. And so listen, CBS Survivor is the freak of the week. And that means we are at the end of another amazing episode. Shout out to all of you guys for listening, always supporting. I appreciate it so much. And if you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available anywhere you get your podcasts from. Hit the subscribe button. And if you are in a subscribing mood, you can head over to YouTube and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Bryce Isaiah, where I've been dropping exclusive content. But make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, giving your baby boy some 5 stars, writing a review, and telling a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to find your North Star. Cause it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's